What's up?
Dirty birds, we set the tone, we fly high to the end zone. Falcon fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast. Hope you're enjoying our brand new opening music brought to you by one of our fans who tweeted in. Jay Tez is his name, and that's his song, Falcon's Anthem. And you can download that for free on SoundCloud. If you go to soundcloud.com/oomp, O-O-M-P, camp, C-A-M-P, TV. All one word. What'd you guys think of that opening song? That's pretty good, huh?
I love the song. I love it.
Yeah, I know. I saw you actually the other day riding around blaring it out of your truck.
I listened to it in my headphones before the game, you know, downstairs when I'm getting ready, getting psyched up to write something awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, got to get psyched up to write something.
Yeah, sure. I require being psyched.
For sure, for sure. Anthony, what'd you think of that?
Man, I love that thing, man. I'm talking about it gets me going, get the juices going, man.
Right.
Wake up in the morning, listen to that?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I can dig it, man.
That'll get you going. Well, we're all ready for another edition of the podcast here, it sounds like. So let's get it started here. We're coming off the win against Daniel. Remind me.
The New Orleans Saints,
yes,
Jay.
Yes, yeah. We beat the team, yeah. So, okay, 23-13 over the Saints.
11th win of the season. 11-1.
11th win of the season. Over the weekend, locked up the NFC South. Things are looking pretty good, huh?
Sounds like they've been listening to the Falcons anthem.
Yeah, probably. Probably. So, yeah, the Falcons coming off that big win. Facing another division.
Seems like it was a long time ago, though.
It really does, man. I'm, like, trying to remember it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
That night in the dome.
That night in the dome. the Falcons are facing the 3-9 Panthers, who are coming off the 27-21 loss last week to
the Kansas City Chiefs, Jay.
There you go. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Blanked out on that one.
No.
All right, so... Daniel, what are your impressions of this matchup? I mean, when you go against a 3-9 team, certainly a little more difficult to get yourself amped up for it. Unless you're listening to the Falcons anthem.
Well, you know. Well, we don't want the Panthers to listen to that song because, A, they might get too amped up and want to beat the Falcons, or they may be upset, which, you know, it seems like they're upset, some of the things we're hearing coming out of Charlotte this week. But you know what I make of this team is I make that there's a lot of young guys starting. I wrote a little bit about these guys yesterday, the Panthers. You know, we talked to Ron Rivera yesterday as well as Cam Newton on the media conference call. Coach Rivera said, and I double-checked and I wrote about it, there's, you know, five or six rookies and second-year guys that are starting and playing significant minutes for that team. They've had a number of injuries. Seven of their nine losses have come 6 points or less. All three of their wins have come by 8 wins. I'm sorry, 8 points. So they're playing a lot of close ball games, and they're kind of the opposite end of the spectrum to the Falcons. The Falcons have played in a lot of close ball games, but the Falcons have pulled them all out except for that one. You know, that first loss, that only loss on the season to the Saints. So I feel like in a lot of ways they're similar to the Falcons, but they're young and they don't quite have that extra little thing that they need to pull out some of those close wins. And that's really kind of been the downfall of them this season.
Yeah, they're going to learn, though. And you know, this is just another year for those guys. I know that, certainly there have been some challenges with that team, but still I think a dangerous team. I think everybody expected them to come in and be able to vie right away for that top spot in the NFC South. But, of course, as we've seen, just hasn't materialized that way. But let's not forget this is a team that came into the Georgia Dome, like you said, played the Falcons really tough, sacked Matt Ryan 7 times. You know, that's you can't help but pay attention to those kinds of numbers when you're talking about taking them on again, especially in their place. It's a defensive line led by Charles Johnson that, you know, is always playing fired up, and Charles Johnson's just a
beast.
Yeah.
We know that. And so it a lot of it's going to rest on how much time the offensive line can give Matt and how Matt can find his receivers. So, you know, I personally expect this to be a close one. I know we haven't gotten quite to the prediction part of the podcast yet, but I'm expecting a close game with these two teams.
I mean, you can't help but expect it. You base that off of what you saw last time in week four. I just pulled up the stats. I was just, you know, we've got like the tail of the tape for both teams as we enter the weekend, and you know it shows the Panthers rankings on a whole variety of statistics, you know, from points per game, total offense, and you know opponents points per game, and all these stats, and they're kind of in the middle of the range for like every single stat that's really, you know, of value in terms of looking at a team, and I think that really speaks to the Panthers, you know. And again, like I said, you know, they've lost all these close games this season, and that will change eventually. They're going to turn that corner eventually. You know, they've managed to stay in so many ball games, and they're kind of right in the middle of, you know, the action for the NFL. And so I feel like they can kind of go in a number of different directions on Sunday, but I think they're going to keep it close, and it may be one of those days where things start to click for them a little bit. And, you know, like you said, you know, week four, 7 sacks against the Falcons. That was the Carolina Panthers defense clicking. And, you know, they're going to need to protect Matt for sure. But, you know, the defense is still kind of a liability. But, hey, 7 sacks is hard to argue with.
Yeah, and I've heard, you know, some people wondering how the Falcons are going to react after winning the NFC South and locking that up over the weekend. But there's still way more for this team to try to accomplish. I mean, you've got that number one seed that's within grasp, and you're in the driver's seat there. And I believe, you know, the magic number, I think, is 2 wins. But, you know, you can mm-hmm. you can lock it up this weekend with some help. And you can lock up a number one – or you can guarantee a first-round bye. So – you know, that scenario is in play this week. So, I mean, there's still plenty for this team to play for. And, you know, I'm expecting a very tough Falcons team. I'm expecting a very tough Panthers team as well. But, you know, this game is always remember last year we went there and got down by, I think it was 17 points at one point. Yeah. And everybody thought that we were going to walk in there and just kind of take the place over, and it didn't really materialize that way. Great comeback, though, by the Falcons mm-hmm. in the second half. But this, again, it's just a dangerous team that you've always got to kind of keep an eye on. It's throw out the records, you know. Yeah. And for some reason, you look at it across the league, these division games are tough, always. It doesn't matter, top, bottom. I mean, probably the only one that's not might be the Patriots and the Bills. Because mm-hmm. Those are the only ones that have been – that seem to have been one-sided, but you know, still these games are close because there's a lot of juice to them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of value in those games. I mean, you look at the records all throughout through the league, and there's not a lot of teams that have records like the Falcons. You know, the Falcons have managed to have, you know, put together a really, really strong season, and like we keep saying, they pulled out some of those close wins, but close games are pretty much you know, the rule now in the NFL. I think I don't have it in front of me, but you know, historically speaking, the number of close games, you know, 6 points, 7 points or less, you know, in terms of how a game is decided, there's been more of those games than we've ever seen in the NFL. So it's kind of just the way that things are now. But you're certainly right. Divisional games, they have a lot riding on them, because you know all those teams are trying to come out on top, just like the Falcons are, and the Panthers are now just, they're kind of playing for pride, and they're playing for next season for a lot of those guys who are being evaluated, and you know, they want to keep those jobs.
Right. Well, let's get on to buy or sell and start buying and selling some stuff here with our topics of the week, brought to you by Feed AJ on AtlantaFalcons.com.
Oh, that's going to be my new name instead of Anthony the Intern?
No, I'm saying that buy or sell is sponsored by Feed AJ.
Ooh, I like that.
I just haven't invoiced you yet for the rights, the naming rights to buy or sell. So you'll get that in the mail here.
Okay.
But anyways, buy or sell, brought to you by Feed AJ.
All right. The first question in buy or sell, or the first statement, the long layoff for the Falcons helped them get healthy, but will they come back rusty? You want to buy or sell that one?
I'm gonna sell that. I've always thought that, like, you know, you have a bye week, and it's possible. I think there's more of a possibility of coming back rusty after a bit of a break. But this really wasn't a bye week. I mean, they kind of treated it a little bit that way. But, you know, this is a team that has nine days off between games. And, you know, they were still here. They were still on the field. They were still, you know, doing the things that they needed to do, getting in the classroom, getting in the film room, those kinds of things. So I think, you know, if anything, this week has allowed the Falcons to get on a more normal routine, back to a normal routine. And so I think that's only going to help them. So I don't see this team coming out rusty.
That's an interesting point, Jay. I think the main advantage is getting some of that health back. You don't see bye weeks this late in the season so much, and you're right, it's not a bye week in the traditional sense, but they certainly get a couple more days off, and that's the advantage that you have when you play on Thursday. You play a short week, but then you kind of get to look forward to that little bit of a stretch where you can get a couple of extra days off, basically. And Coach Smith certainly rewarded those guys for that. They've earned it, and I felt like it was an intelligent move on Coach Smith's part, kind of looking out for his guys. And I feel like there's going to be a little bit of an energized thing, if anything else. You know, you think about getting some extra days off, you know, in any line of work, you know, after you've had a tough stretch where you've worked really hard, you've done some projects or whatever. I think it can help refocus you a little bit. So I sell it as well. I'm not concerned at this point in the season, after they've been grinding at this so long, that there's going to be some rust there.
Yeah, and you know what's really crucial is like you said, this time of year to get any kind of rest is so extremely important. I mean, we're into like the, you know, there's a lot to play for, and these guys know it, and they're excited and everything. But physically, this has got to be just kind of like the dog days a little bit season, because you're just, everything is so repetitive, and your body is broken down, and you're just hurting, and you're bruised up, and you're banged up. And, you know, I imagine that this time of the year, especially, you know, for like rookies or second year guys who are still adjusting to an NFL schedule,
right?
You know, you see all the colleges, they're off for a month before their yeah. bowl game. You know, your body kind of gets used to that after a while. So, you know, to get those four extra days, I'm sure was really nice. And we even saw on the injury report drastic reduction
significant
in the number of guys that were on there. Now, you had a couple of guys on there that you don't want to see on there, but a lot of guys were able to get rest. And I think that during those 4 days that those guys got off, helped out a lot.
And the flip side of that is, you know, the Panthers, they had a number of guys on their did not practice report from the injury report from – it's Wednesday. It's the first official practice of the week, but you know that's something to look at as well. They've certainly had their struggles with injuries. So if there's an advantage there, I think the Falcons have a little bit of one with the improved health.
Yeah. All right. Let's take it back to AJ for our second topic here on Feed AJ's Buy or Sell.
Okay. The next segment. Does being 1-for-11 on third downs point to trouble with the offense? What do you think about that one?
You know, I think that the 1-for-11 on third downs was I thought it was fluky. You know, I think that was just a situation where, you know, their defense is adjusting. You know, you're able to come out on the first drive, you know, which is a scripted drive. You know what you're running, you're doing these things. But then, you know, they come out and they adjust a little bit. I didn't see it as something that signifies a bigger problem, because the Falcons have been great on third downs this year. So I think that was just a fluky little thing. So I'm going to sell that, because I don't think that's going to linger at all.
Yeah. You know, and the Saints defense hasn't been all that great, but they have been strong in a couple of areas. And, you know, I don't know if third down defense is one of their strengths, but I know red zone defense has been. And there's a similar mentality that you apply from red zone defense to third downs. It's a key, you know, it's a key down. It's a key area of the field in terms of keeping the offense from moving ahead or scoring. You know what, Jay? This 1-for-11 is a strange thing. It's like turning the ball over five times and still winning. Mm-hmm. It's one of those stats, like, you hear it and you're like, you can't believe it. How did they pull that out? But you're right. You know, I went back. I just picked a date. I picked November 4th, which is a Sunday. It was a couple of weeks ago, a little over halfway through the season. And the Falcons were ranked third in the NFL with 48% third down conversion percentage.
Yeah.
And then I took the last 3 weeks, because that's when, you know, we feel like we're starting to hear some of these concerns about third down. And Coach Smith mentioned, you know, last Monday, whatever day it was, when they came back, as they were starting to do some of their self-scouting and some of their looking at fixing some of their own issues, third down was something that they felt like they wanted to improve on. You know, obviously that 1-for-11 thing was red flag for them, but he said, you know, the 40 to 50% range is kind of where you want to be. And you know, so I went back and looked at the last three games that the Falcons have played, and they've been right at 40%. So I don't feel like it's a big issue. They had some struggles, you know, 1-for-11 against the Saints, but I don't believe that it's something that will continue on. So, you know, it's just one of those anomalies. It's one of those things that happen. But, you know, based on what they've done all season, it doesn't seem like it's a problem to me. So I'm selling.
All right. Well, let's get on to our Twitter keys to victory here. And again, we're going to read off all three of the keys that were presented by you on Twitter. And Daniel and I are going to go ahead and rank those as to our level of importance. So, AJ, go ahead. This one is not sponsored by you or Feed AJ. Man. So,
really?
Nope.
Not even a smidget? Not even the first question?
No.
What about the last question?
Nope. What about the you first got buy question? Or sell. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. All right. Go ahead.
All right. The first one is from Aaron Siders. Hitting the gas pedal, you know, once we take the lead, we don't stop. And time for a blowout game. That's the first one. I kind of like that one. The second one is Coach JDub21. No big plays in the passing game for Carolina, which is pretty good too. And the last one is Cookin23. Keeping Matty Ice clean in the pocket and get him some time, and he is a surgeon. And I actually like that one too. So you got some tough ones.
All right, so we're going to start out with the third most important for both of us. And I'm going to say number three for me is hitting the gas pedal, and once we take a lead, don't stop, and time for a blowout game. I don't think that, again, there's no style points in the NFL. Look, it's nice to get a blowout. Of course, right. It's nice. We all want it. I know you and I want it because it helps us finish our jobs, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
When we got like four or five different stories written based on the many possible outcomes.
There's depending outcomes on, you know, 2 minutes, the last 2 minutes of a game.
It's kind of nice to know what you're writing about going into the third quarter. You know what I'm saying?
The deadline is 5 minutes after the game.
I would love it. But it's not the most important, crucial thing to come out of this week.
Right.
And it's not the biggest key to the game. So, for me, that's number three.
Yeah, I agree. You know, a win is a win. A blowout would be nice. I don't feel like it's going to – I think the fans would enjoy seeing it. Like, they'd love to see – you know, the fans would appreciate those style points, if you will. Big numbers from the offense, and, you know, like a shutout on defense or some, you know, stuff like that. But it's not necessary. So I'm going to say that's my third one as well. Time for a blowout game. But I will say, hey, good point with hitting the gas pedal. I'd love to see them kind of really, really stay consistent throughout the game on offense, especially.
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, like, that whole statement is that stuff we would love to see. Is it crucial to the outcome of the game? No. But I totally agree with you. Like, you know, it's that killer instinct. And so, you know, I know Falcons fans have been wanting to see that. So maybe this week, but not the most important thing for me. Let's go to number two, and you can lead it off with number two.
All right. I think we're going to have some similar statements here.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I'm going to say no big plays in the passing game for Carolina. In some ways, I'm going to say that I feel like the running game, something I wrote about on the website today, so make sure you read it, is maybe a little bit bigger of a concern or an issue for the Falcons on defense. And, you know, Cam's been running the ball really, really well the last couple weeks. And he's actually been playing really well lately anyway, more like the Cam of old or the Cam that we saw last season, which was just his rookie year. So that's kind of scary. But no big plays in the passing game. I mean, that's in some ways that's a priority each week. They certainly have an explosive ability that a lot of teams don't have. And but it's still a key, I think, you know, especially with some of the concerns on with injuries at in the secondary, I think, as well. Some of those guys, Chris Owens, Robert McClain in particular, have played really well as some of those depth guys. But certainly you don't want to start giving up big plays, 80-yard passing plays to, you know, Cam Newton, to Steve Smith, because that'll get you pretty quickly there. And Carolina's shown they can do that, so.
All right. Well, you left no meat on the bone for me on that one. That's it. Because I'm gonna go ahead and agree with you and just say that's into my number two, no big plays in the passing game. Yeah, I really can't add to that because you took it all. So
sorry about that.
That's okay. Number one, I'm going to obviously go with keeping Matt Ryan clean. We saw how important that was in the first game and how much damage that Carolina can do if they're able to get to the quarterback. And so I think far and away that's number one. Give him some time. Let him run the offense like we know he can run the offense. And it should be, to borrow a phrase from Cam Newton from yesterday, a pretty good day at the office. So, you know, that's for me number one, I think, in this game and a lot of other games. So no change for me here. Going number one, Matty Ice, clean in the pocket.
Yeah, it's pretty important. Certainly given what – like you said, what they did to us last time we played them, week four. You know, and it's funny to call Matt Ryan a surgeon. And we used to, you know, back in the day in 2010, we would have a game day chat, and we used to show Civil War surgeon pictures.
Yeah, we did.
We would reference Matty Ice in that way. But, you know, he doesn't necessarily carve teams up anymore. He kind of just like, he takes his shots and then he goes deep with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say he's quite the surgeon, but that he once was. But you know, he's retired that, you know, that profession. But keeping Matty Ice clean in the pocket is still priority number one. And you know, if he's got time, some of those big shots, you know, deep down the field that we saw early in the season, are probably going to be there. And you know, maybe we got away from that a little bit, and I feel like that's going to be something that they're going to want to return to. And those are the kind of plays that can take a young team that's kind of struggled a little bit on defense, can take those kind of guys out of the game quickly.
All right, so let's get on here real quick and wrap it up. AJ, take us through here quickly.
Hold on, one quick thing. I think Matty Ice still is a surgeon. I think he's a heart surgeon. You want to know why? Because look at that last Panthers game. First drive, fourth quarter, who did he throw it to? 59 yards to who, Jay?
Roddy White.
Okay. So I think he just sucked the hearts out of all the Panthers fans. So, you know, heart surgeon, you know, I second that notion, and I approve that message by feet, AJ.
Okay. All right. all right, let's get to our impact player. AJ, take us through the last week.
All right. Last week let's see, Jay, you said Matty Ice, pretty decent, 18-33, 165 yards, one TD. And, you know, Daniel, you said Jaquiz, 43 rushes and 8 carries, and I'm just going to skip over who I picked. And,
probably a good idea.
Yeah, it was a very good idea. He only had one snap. So, let's see, Jay, go first.
All right, I am going to go ahead and say my pick is that's tough. But I'm going to say Sean Weatherspoon. I'd say Spoon has a big game. So crucial in stopping the run. We saw that last game, you know, him coming back for the Saints game. Against this Carolina team, you know, he's going to be just as crucial. And So I really think that that he could come up big, and he's going to be my guy this week.
My guy is Julio Jones. AJ is making sounds to my right here. AJ. Julio has played outstanding games on the road for almost his entire career. He was big against Carolina in that comeback last season, and he's been a little quiet lately. So that's my pick. You know, I think the Carolina Panthers are going to try to take away Roddy White first and Tony Gonzalez second, and they're going to pick their poison a little bit, so to speak, and maybe take their chances with Julio. And I think it's time for him to have a big week. So he's my guy.
All right, Anthony.
All right.
You got to do a little bit better.
I am. Okay. I trust me, I am. I honestly think that this week, I say the defensive player of the week. I say, you know, Willie Moe. I mean, it just depends on how Steve Smith lines up. And, hey, let's go for it.
All right. Well, hopefully William Moore back from the hamstring injury, and we'll have him 100% healthy and ready to go for Sunday to make good on Anthony's prediction. So, yeah.
I hope you're right, AJ.
I agree. I hope you're absolutely right. Willie Moe needs to be ready.
Yeah, but Willie Moe is always ready, so I have confidence.
All right. Okay, so we're going to wrap things up here on another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. As always, thanks for joining us. And you can catch us on iTunes if you're not catching us on AtlantaFalcons.com. And we will talk to you next week.